Good evening. This is Rabbi Mayevsky. The parsha is a very interesting one, even though it always or seemingly the entire parsha has to do with Shidduch, with Avraham finally at this point in time after the passing of Sarah, Avraham getting over it and realizing it now that Yitzchak has passed all the tests that he has passed as well. He has certainly been able to be one of the Avos now. He has survived the Akedah, amazingly enough. I mean, one would think with a knife poised at his throat, he certainly would have passed out, and that would leave a lasting mental scar on his on himself. But now he moves on and begins to strike out on his own, seemingly so, at the age of 38 years old. But the reality is something very interesting is about to happen. We know that tefillah takes a very important part in our life. In light of the events now that we are who are here in the United States, and we're relegated basically, we can't actually, I mean, we demonstrate, but we don't have the ability to actually fight in the trenches like the Israeli soldiers are, but we are relegated to tefillah, which is a very important part of our lives. We get up in the morning, we daven shacharis, then mincha, then maariv. And it's very interesting because we know that it tells us that Avraham was misaken tefillah shacharis because we know in last week's parsha in Vayera, it says, Vayashkem Avraham ba'boker. We use that to say that he got up early in the morning to daven. And now, seemingly, very interestingly enough, when Sarah is about to, when Rivka is about to meet finally her intended, her future husband, Yitzchak, it says, Vayetze Yitzchak lo suach basodeh, and it tells us at that time that he was misaken tefillas mincha, and then in Parshas Vayetze, in a couple of weeks, it says, Vayifka b'makom vayolan shom kivu ha-shemesh, and we are told that it was Yaakov who was misaken tefillas mayrin. Of course, we learn in the Gemara that the davening was keneged karbonos tiknun, the karbonos shachris and the karbon mincha. But this very interesting thought is that are we supposed to think that when Avraham was misaken tefillah shachris that he did not daven tefillah mincha or that he davened only once a day? It's a very interesting thought process. Of course, we have no answer to say to something of that nature. But the reality is that what is the reason that we are relegated at this point to daven three times a day? What is the purpose of davening three times a day? One might think that possibly when we get up in the morning, we put on a talis and tefillin, or for the women who open up a siddur and they daven with all the kavana that their ability to have, and it's a wonderful thing, and they daven, and that should be enough at this point in time we communicate with God. There's a very interesting thought process over here, which is as follows. When after Avraham, who was very much, not to say living his life with blinders on, just the opposite, but he was so forceful in his derech that when he communicated with God and being a Navi, he was able to communicate with, when Hashem came to speak to him, there was at different times of the day, and he understood that he had to be mentally prepared. In case God would want to speak with him, he would have to be in a certain mental condition. Yitzchak is already is, when we say Shmon Esrei and we say Mogen Avraham, the reason we don't mention, even though we say Elokei Avraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov, but when we say Mogen Avraham, because he is the beginning of everything, and he had that focus that he was able to know all day. Yitzchak is one step down, not to minimize the ability or the stature of Yitzchak, but he wasn't Avraham. And Yitzchak understands one thing, that communicating with God in the morning, davening as his father taught him to do in the morning, there has to be perhaps another checkpoint halfway through the day. There has to be another point, is if we get up in the morning, so to speak, and we go to work, and now it comes the point in time that even though we've had all these wonderful thoughts about davening and we have the kavanas that we're going to live a good day and do all the mitzvahs that we can do or should do, But as the day goes along, we sort of forget ourselves at some point in time. And therefore, Yitzhak felt, Vayetzei Yitzhak L'soch Basodeh, there has to be another checkpoint in the day once again to have a communication with God on another level to set his focus once again that there is a God in the universe and that he's watching over me. And Yaakov again, especially when he's running away from his home as opposed to Yitzhak who lived his entire life in Eretz Yisrael, he's going away to Lavan and he feels, even though he davens in the morning and he davens mincha in the afternoon, that the darkness is about to descend upon him. He doesn't know for how long. It turns out to be 20, 22 years until he would arrive back home. But now he realizes that even in darkness, when he's going to bed at night, he needs to daven still one more time to communicate with God before he goes to bed. But the very interesting point at this time is, we know what the Gemara tells us, the Talmud tells us about davening, that we have to daven by a certain time of the day, and the Gemara speculates on what is the best time to daven. Now, the interesting part is that the other people of the world, and we know even the Muslims, they daven three times a day, some of them daven five times a day. The problem becomes that a lot of the world in those days, they would try to communicate with God and pray, but they weren't praying to the same God. Some of them prayed to the God of the sun. Some of them prayed to the moon. Some of them prayed to the stars. And various other deities that they felt were the deities that ran their lives. And so those who serve in the morning, those who prayed in the morning, a lot of them would be praying to the sun god, or in the afternoon or in the evening to the stars and the moon that were out at night. But interestingly enough, we are told that the reason we pray more than one time a day is that we are praying to our Kadosh Baruch Hu to show that not only when we get up in the morning and we pray when the sunlight out, it might appear that we're praying to the sun, we're giving fealty to the sun, and then at night, maybe we're doing it to the moon and the stars. But it's to show that we're not strictly focusing on one particular deity. We are focusing, on one particular deity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's more than that. When the Gemara tells us what is the optimum time for davening, we know with the Netzach Hama, what is interesting about davening Shacharis in the morning with the Netzach Hama, and in the afternoon, certainly we are told the optimum time to daven mincha is with Dumdumei Chama, as the sun sets, as it's dropping out of the sky, and it's beginning to get a little dark, and there's no more sunlight. That is the optimum time to daven. And in fact, why would that be? But the reality is it's something very interesting. The reason that's the optimum time is we wish to show that neither the sun nor the moon nor the stars are in control of anything that goes on in the earth. It's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the optimum time to daven mincha is when there is no sun and there is no moon and there is no stars. It's im dimdumei chama, as the sun sets in the morning, just before the sun rises, when it's still a little bit dark out. There's no longer any moon that's probably visible, certainly not any stars. The sun hasn't arisen yet. The sun hasn't risen yet. And now we are focusing on that moment that is the optimum time, because then it's obvious we are not praying to any of these creations that God had, neither the sun, nor the moon, nor the stars. And this is what we're left with to pray. So when we pray, of course, any time we daven, we focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there is that optimum moment when it shows our true inclination that we do not believe in anything but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is with Im Dimdumei Chama, and that is with the Zericha Hashem, with the Netzach Chama, with the sunrise at that point in time, just before the sun is up in the sky, just before the sun has disappeared, or as it's disappearing, we focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what we hoped at this point in time, when Yitzhak finally comes to the realization that he decides he needs that afternoon prayer and Yaakov needs that nightly prayer, may the schus of the avos help us in our daily lives when we daven. May we focus and we gawk. And the Jews, our brethren in Eretz Yisrael, need all our prayers at this point in time. We could do as much as we can, but davening certainly would help, whether we're saying Tillim or whether we're davening Shachris, Mincha, Meirev. May we have the right thoughts and know that we're praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and focus on not just davening and giving it lip service. Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov understood that. They didn't have the they didn't have the way the words, they weren't Masada yet the words until thousands of years later. But at this point in time, they understood that the only person in the world, the only being in the world that could help them through all their trials and tribulations, and they went through so many that we see from Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and it's an amazing thing how they were able to withstand all the nisyonos of whether it was Nimrod, whether it was Lavan, whether it was Paro, whether it was Avimelech, whether it was Lavan or Esav, all these things, and Mechiras Yosef, that they had to withstand all these troubles. May those troubles stand in our, and the survival of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, may the schus avos stand in our behalf, and may we, our own prayers, have keep us in our good standing as well. And may this horrible time that we're going through right now come to a swift conclusion and a successful conclusion. Have a good evening. Have a good Shabbos.